Romans, countrymen. It's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Sure is. It's that time of the show.
It's
Hello, Alice. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm so well. There's so much going on at the moment.
Yes.
So much. I mean, as well as, like, it's warm and there's this thing that's happening overseas at the moment, which is huge and all-encompassing. It's been a busy time.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on in theatre at the moment.
I did think I'd
kick off by doing the shout-out for the Silo Theatre Artistic Director role. I mean, look, artistic director roles in, I'm going to say, globally at the moment, looking at the trend, it's like hen's teeth. So that is a role that has come up. Sophie Roberts obviously is moving into new things after almost, I think it's 10 years in the role. Mm. So that role is up for grabs.
Wow.
So that's up at the moment. There's a couple of assistant director roles going in the Engine Room, which is Auckland Theatre Company's opportunity for mid-career directors. So there's like lots of cool opportunities happening at the moment. So get amongst it. But apart from that, we're here to talk to the effervescent Jonathan Bielski. Welcome to the show. You're the CEO of Auckland Theatre Company.
Yeah, killed him.
Wow, big title.
What does it mean to be the CEO of Auckland Theatre Company?
Well, I would like to think it means I'm in charge of everything.
Yes, but once
you get into a job like this, you realise how little you're really in charge of and how managed you are by everybody else.
Oh, gorgeous. We love that feeling of being trapped. Jonathan, we could talk about a lot of things, but we're here to talk about the 2025 season, which you've put together. Now, when you are making decisions about what goes into a season for Auckland Theatre Company, there's probably a couple of things you want to think about. One, you've got that glorious waterfront theatre, which is one thing. Two, you've got like a quite a sizable catchment of folk. Tamaki Makaurau is a huge area. And then, of course, you know, you've got a bunch of artists that do choose the Tamaki region to call home. So there's a few things that you've got resting on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You can't probably just chuck it all in AI and go program a season, although I would like to give that one a go to see what those spit out. What's the navigating star for you when you're looking at putting together a season like this?
Well, I guess the big whakaaro at ATC is scale.
Yep.
So we have the opportunity to play big. So artists can come, think big, play big. They have a big vision. There's a big stage. And we're resource better than most. So that's really the point of difference that Auckland Theatre Company has, is to be able to make a big production on a big stage for a big audience.
Yes.
So that's very narrow. That's actually quite a narrow programming frame. Like, it's even though the expanse of the making of the work is big, there aren't many plays, there aren't many ways of making a play that work at that scale.
Mm.
Because when you play that big, you also have to have a big audience, because
yes,
that's the only way it works financially.
Yeah.
So that means you've got to be pitching for pretty big audiences by Auckland Theatre standards. You know, we're looking for between 6,000 and 10,000 ticket buyers for every play. Now, that's
a
lot.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, you know, for the indie sector that are playing to the Basement Theatre, which is 100 seats a night, that's 500 tickets a week.
Yeah.
That's 1,000 tickets in a fortnight, if you're lucky. I mean, Q Theatre, Rangatira is a big boy, but even so, you know, maybe 300 seats on a good day if they've got the configuration of the theatre the way it is. So 10,000 bums on seats. Now, you could probably do that thing where people go, oh, yeah, well, I know what gets bums on seats. I have no idea.
No.
What gets bums on seats?
You're in good company, because I don't know. If I knew, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on Broadway. I'd be a wealthy person. I wouldn't be here running the Auckland Theatre Company. It's like the theatre is no different to the circus. It's just full of jeopardy. You just don't know what's going to work.
Yes.
From a programming point of view, marketing, promotion and production, but also from the artistic alchemy, you just don't know what will click.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, you're surprised by a play and a group of makers who do something special, and the audience comes in behind them and suddenly it's a hit. And you don't know why. You can't really, you can't quantify it.
Yes.
And then there are those times when, you know, even us, we make a play that's not very good. And I won't know, no names. I'm not going to know names. So
okay, that's not off air later on.
And
okay.
Every seat is full and you think, I don't know, how does
how
this work?
Does it? Yeah, gosh. Yeah. I know it's wild, isn't it? And look, we shouldn't reduce the intelligence of our audiences, right? Because it's not, yeah, as you say, it's not, it's not a science.
No.
Although science on the kind of the most, at the continuum towards a kind of crazy woo-woo end actually is quite close to art.
It's a feeling, isn't
yeah.
it? You know,
yeah,
like
yeah,
it
yeah.
is, I mean, I hate to say a vibe, but I think audiences, it's a feeling. Like, yeah. do they connect with the material? Is the yeah. idea, is the emotion of it something that uplifts you or challenges you? And that's the jeopardy of art, is you don't know. You go in, whether you're going to a movie or switching on the TV or playing an album, it's the same idea.
Yes.
But in theatre, because it's live, there's so many variables, including your own mood and the person sitting next to you and
gosh.
The chip rack behind you.
Oh, tell me about it. I'm sensitive to that kind of
yep.
stuff. The temperature of the space. You know, there's so much. The way that the usher greets you
yes.
as you go to your seat. I am a sensitive little bitch when it comes to that stuff. And if someone is rustling a chippy packet within like 100 metre radius of me, I will find you and I will hunt you down and I'll go straight for the jugular.
No worries from it. You stand in your sensitive little bitch power and I back you 100%. People consume theatre on their own terms.
I mean, look, that's actually sorry to say that. I go to the theatre not for a social experience. I go for a spiritual experience.
Yeah.
So I go to the theatre by myself. If I don't talk to you or engage with you or give you eye contact, it's not because I dislike you or my bitch. It's because I'm actually going for some other reason.
Yes.
And even that in itself, because some people are like, you go to the theatre to go with someone to talk and nudge them. I'm like, no, don't touch me. Don't perceive me. I'm in my church. But we've got, anyway, we're talking about the plays. How many plays have you got for next year?
We have
year?
Six plays in our season for next year.
Yes.
And they're all at the ASB Waterfront Theatre, which
yes.
is our home in the Wynyard Quarter.
Yes. You've got, there's a real range. I see you've got Ahi in there with his work, Mixtape 4 Melodies.
Yep.
Is that an original work?
It is. So it's part three of a trilogy that Ahi has been working through, being a Tamil Sri Lankan New Zealander via the UK.
Mm.
And he's really had these sort of reflections on that experience. And this is the last one in the three. It's a story of the impact of the civil war in Sri Lanka.
Yes.
And a Sri Lankan who's come to live in New Zealand and looking back and telling that story.
Wow.
It's really heartbreaking stuff.
Yes.
It was showcased in the Arts Festival a couple of years ago,
yes.
and I was totally devastated by the reading of it. I mean, I worship Ahi Gruenharan. He's just, he's an incredible human being.
Yes.
But as an artist, he is just transcendent. And this is just like it's an apotheosis, really, of this journey that he's been on.
Yes.
And it's a really beautiful piece of work. It's powerful. It's about family and the devastation of family.
Mm.
But it's also incredibly hopeful. You know, it's Ahi at his best backing humanity.
Yes. He's not, for all of his abilities to criticise or to pull apart things, he's not cynical.
No,
he's
not
at all. And he's an uncle. I mean, Ahi, if you're listening, you are the OG uncle, this guy. Like, honestly, he's also there to cheerlead and support others. And his I want to say, there's some desire he has for theatre that is also for humankind, that he has this twinkle in his eye every time I talk to him, which is very unique.
Well, he has at his core, just in my definition, generosity.
Yes.
So for him, the advancement of all people is the objective,
yes.
not himself.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
You know?
It's,
and that's rare. You know, there's lots of people who'll say that, but he works day in, day out to advance all those around him and uplift others. It's really very, very beautiful to be around.
We love it. Now I'm just looking at the time going, oh my gosh, there's
right.
still five other shows to go. Talk to us about some of those other five shows, Jonathan.
Well, the other world premiere that we have in this season is a work by Jess Sayer.
Yes, I saw that. Jess, who, yeah, I mean, some people might recognise her from Shortland Street. As an actor, she's multidimensional. She's also an award-winning writer. Wrote the Bruce Mason, I think she won in 2018 or 19, if I'm not mistaken.
You're looking at me as if I know the answer.
Oh, okay. So award-winning playwright, and many of her work, oh gosh, I mean, she's a really incredible writer. Her ear for dialogue is pretty, and the fact that she's just like casually being an actor
yes.
in the other, and also just a great person. So her work, what is Mary?
Mary, The Birth of Frankenstein.
Yes.
So Jess has been developing this work for a number of years, and it's about a real event. a bunch of what were celebrity writers of their day got together in Switzerland one summer, and they had a literary salon that was drug-fueled, sex-fueled and every other fueled.
Oh, gosh, go
and,
off.
There was Lord Byron, there was Percy Shelley, Mary Shelley, or Mary Godwin, as she was then about to become Mary Shelley. And it was a very gothic occasion. The summer was very stormy, it was dark, there was a lot of lightning and thunder, and they were on Lake Geneva, and the lake was, you know, roiled throughout the summer. And what Jess does is looks at that real occasion and imagines it happening one night.
Oh.
And so Mary Shelley births the story of Frankenstein, which is sort of really she's like the godmother of gothic sci-fi horror.
Yes.
And so it's an extraordinary, ambitious piece of writing, incredible dialogue, so witty,
yes.
So horrific, it's phantasmagoric. And she's partnered with... who's her day job boss?
Yes, Ollie.
Oliver Driver, who's the boss of Shortland Street.
Yes.
And who's a big figure in the Auckland Theatre Company's history.
Mm.
And so he's back to direct. And
yes, and you've got Liv Tennant, who's a dynamic performer. What can that woman not do?
Absolutely nothing.
She does everything.
Yep.
She's extraordinary. And she's in the titular role, is
yes,
she?
Yes, she is, Mary Shelley.
And is it a solo work? Or...
No, it's a big production with a lot of people on stage.
Yeah,
I think it's six or seven actors.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, but obviously she is at the centre of the story.
Yes. Oh, God. And also I was just like quietly going, yes, finally Liv gets her moment. She's getting a work that's new, that's been written probably with her in mind. It's about bloody time she's got that. So extraordinary. We've got very little time left. So just quickly, I see there is a work with Midiyama. She's like looking at me in the program.
Yes.
Talk to me about the Midiyama's work.
Okay, very quickly, Witi Ihemata wrote a play called Women Far Walking, which was like a comment on the dishonouring of the treaty.
Mm-hmm.
And the central character, Tiri Mahana, is as old as the treaty.
Mm.
And so next year she'll be 185 years old. She looks back across the history of the treaty and what has happened.
Oof.
And what we've decided to do is to work with Katie Wolfe, who is an extraordinary artist,
yes.
who I say is at the height of her creative
yes.
powers.
Oh my goodness, the Haka Party incident, just go look it up.
Absolutely. And so we'll present it both in Te Reo Māori and in English.
Ooh.
So it's the first time we've done that.
Yes.
You know, I know it's 2025 and no one's gonna be, you know, fist pumping us for doing Te Reo Māori at last, but we are here and this is the right work. So we've just got the absolute best people to realise the work both in English but also in the reo.
Oh, that is so epic. Jonathan, look, we could just keep talking about the program because, of course, I've got a million questions for you. But really, this is just to offer some insight, I guess, into what is in the program. This is for the calendar year of 2025. Are you guys selling off single tickets at the moment? Like, how do people sort of get in there? Because you want to get good seats to the shows you want to go to see, right?
Well, here's the skinny on this. You can buy packages now
okay.
if you go to atc.co.nz.
Yep.
So you can buy packages, or if you're under 30
yes.
you just wait until all the tickets go on sale on the 1st of February, and every performance has $30 tickets for people who are under 30 bucks.
Oh, that is music
under
to
30 ages.
My ears. Incredible. Jonathan Bielski, it's been a real pleasure talking to you today. Again, as I said, we could talk for hours and hours and hours, but go to atc.co.nz to check out the full program. Again, under 30s, wait till the 1st of Feb and swoop in and get those $30 tickets. Oh my Lord, that's economy, my goodness. That's cheaper than a bottle of wine. Sophia, it's always so frantic.
You're so fine.
For stage direction.
Thank you both for coming in. That was Stage Direction.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.